Tango Tango Papa 1676, August 6, 2012.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this afternoon from a place called Pine Grove, Pennsylvania. So let's see, I was in upstate New York, and then the load that I have now that I'm going to deliver late this evening, I picked it up at a place called Delhi, New York, which is kind of in a really rural part of upstate New York. You know, you think of New York State as a kind of a high population state, which it is, and I think it's primarily because of New York City, but it's got some pretty rural areas. This was sort of in the, I guess you'd say it was sort of in the central, or the kind of the central sort of part of the upstate. And maybe more towards the eastern part, but it very rural. So anyway, I picked the load up, and then I'm on my way to deliver the load late this evening, actually early in the morning, at Mechanicsville, Virginia. And so I got here to, there's a pilot truck stop and another truck stop across the street. So I was able to find a place to park. I got here, I don't know, it was probably about 2:30 or so Eastern time when I got here this morning. Went ahead and stopped here, and then I'll leave here in time to be, my goal is to kind of be at the receiver there at Mechanicsville, Virginia, maybe by about midnight. Or, you know, somewhere after that, because the actual delivery appointment's at 2 a.m. and it's one of those places, you know, there's no parking, don't get there too far ahead before your appointment, and so on and so forth. And so I'm kind of dragging my feet leaving here. I don't want to start my clock too soon, the 14-hour clock, because if I start that too soon, then I'm going to be in trouble later this evening, you know, because let's say it takes them a few hours to unload the load, well, and my clocks ran out, well, then what do I do? Got to get off our property. Well, where do you go? So, hopefully I'll be able to time it so that once I leave there, I might have enough time to get to a truck stop, hopefully. So, I think the nearest truck stop's probably maybe 25-30 miles away, something like that. Maybe Ashland, Virginia, or someplace in somewhere in there. I think there's a, I'd have to look at the map, but there's truck stops. Before I go on, I want to talk a little bit about GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix. And let's see here. There we go. Let's try this. During the summer, it seems like everyone is on different schedules, vacations, shorter days, working remotely. So meeting all your clients and colleagues in person can be impossible. That's why I recommend you use GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It lets you meet face-to-face no matter where you are this summer. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, it takes just a webcam and a click to collaborate in group HD video. You can even join in from an iPad. You can see your attendees eye-to-eye while collaborating on documents in real time. You'll feel instantly connected, even if you're thousands of miles apart. Plus, GoToMeeting is easy to use. iPad users, just download the free GoToMeeting app to join. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Don't wait for this special offer. Visit gotomeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Be sure to use the promo code PODCAST. So that takes care of that. So, weather-wise, it has been, it's been kind of hot, but not as hot as it was. Not as hot as it has been, and I think it's still hot in some areas of the country. But I think this, the so-called heat wave, I think is sort of over. There still is a drought going on in a lot of areas, and those things, those droughts happen. I mean, that's just, you know, people, I don't know, people begin to expect that everything's going to always be ideal, and we have wet years and we have dry years, and things are cyclical. And so there's nothing that really stays the same. As I've said many times, that's why we build shelter, to protect ourselves from the elements, because the elements are, you can kind of generally predict them, but you can't really predict what's going to happen from one minute, you know, one day to the next. You know, you can predict within certain parameters, and that's about it. So, that's why we have shelters. So, but anyway, it's, now today here, I don't know what the temperature is here, right here today. It's not that bad if you're, you kind of stand, I was standing outside a while ago, and for a while, and it you know, I was just kind of standing beside the truck, and it was, I don't know, I might have broken a little bit of a sweat, not much, and, so it really, temperature just really isn't, I don't know, I'd say probably here, it's probably, I'm guessing it's probably in the 80s. And, of course, after, typically, Labor Day, that's, what is it, September the 6th, somewhere around Labor Day, whenever that is, it's often, it's like somebody flips a light switch, and then all of a sudden, there's just, it's like the weather breaks and you got some cooler weather. That's always kind of amazed me how that happens, especially in you get in the Northeast, and it's like the, you know, the next day after Labor Day, it just, it's you know, like I say, it's often, it's like someone flips a light switch. So there's probably about another roughly another month of warmer weather, and then after that, it's we're gonna start pushing into the fall again, and cooler weather, and that's the cycle, and that's how it works. I guess two or three days ago, I had a very interesting experience. I'd gone into this Denny's in a Flying J truck stop somewhere, I don't even remember where it was now. But I went in this Denny's, and I ended up sitting at the counter, which a lot of times when I go in a restaurant like that, I'll sit in a booth. But typically, if you sit at the counter in any restaurant, you tend to get faster service. And I think it's because you're right there, and you tend to get more attention if you're right there at the counter versus in a booth somewhere. And it depends also on how the restaurants are laid out. But as a rule, you do get faster service. So if you want faster service, sit at the counter if you're a restaurant. So anyway, I was sitting at the counter, kind of sitting there minding my own business. And there was this gal that came up. And, you know, I was sitting there just really minding my own business, eating my food or whatever. And here she comes, and she's deliberately bugging me. And she says, you know, and it, as it turns out, it was a, she's like an off-duty employee. And she says, I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to make you really mad. And she was serious. And, you know, I should have told her, you know, good luck, you're not going to make me mad. But, so, you know, fire away, ask me anything you like. So she, you know, and I could hear her voice was dripping with animosity. You know, she's talking about, you know, because I'm covered with tattoos. And she says, why would anyone do that to themselves? You know, meaning, why would I get tattoos? You know, why would I cover myself with tattoos? And, you know, I've had this question before. It's not a question that I'm not, you know, that I'm unfamiliar with. And I kind of expect it from some people, the kind of the accusing, why would you do that type of thing? You dirty so-and-so, why would you do that to yourself? Or, you know, that type of question asked in that kind of a way, you know, and I could hear the animosity in her voice when she did it. And I simply said, I told her the truth. I said, well, I'm, you know, it's an obsession. I'm obsessed with it. I've been obsessed with it. And she said, yeah. And then she tried again, and again I could hear the animosity in her voice. But why would you do that to yourself? You know, kind of in an accusing way. And again I told her, it's been an obsession. It's for the same reason that people overeat. Can't control their eating. You know, of course, this gal was pretty well overweight. And she, you know, and then she immediately, I'm not fat because I overeat. I'm fat because I drink, you know. And I said, well, I'm not just picking on you. I'm giving you an example. You ask, and I'm trying to explain it to you. It's an obsession. It's the same kind of thing. You know, why can't people control their eating? Why can't they control their drinking? And so she, you know, then the, you know, what ended up happening, because I didn't resent, you know, because that was the intent, to get me to resent, whether she knew it or not, and she pretty much announced it when she came up. She said, I'm going to ask you a question that's really going to piss you off. She had intended to really get under my skin, so to speak. And it didn't work. Because, I did not resent her, you know, making that kind of an accusing, even though she's doing it in the form of a question, making that sort of an accusation, basically, that, you know, because with the resentment, with the animosity in her voice, it was more, you know, it was more of a, it really wasn't a question. She really didn't want to know the answer when it comes right down to it. She did not want to know the answer. She was doing it in the form of asking it in a form of a question, you know, making an accusation, you know, like, you dirty so-and-so, why did you do that to yourself, type of thing. She tried twice, you know, the first time it didn't work, she tried again, and so oftentimes people will do that. If the other person's intent is to get you to resent, and you don't resent, however you answer, and I just, you know, the best way to do it is to just answer honestly, and I told her, you know, just quite, you know, I've been obsessed with them. It's not any secret. I've been obsessed with them, and I'll tell you all day long that I've been obsessed with them. Without any animosity on my own part. Well, when someone tries to provoke you in that way, and get you to resent them, then, you know, and you don't give it to them, you don't give them the response that they're looking for, oftentimes they'll try harder. They'll try again. They might come back a couple of times. This gal came back once and tried again, and it didn't work again. And in fact, I kind of ended up by telling her the truth, it ended up kind of back on her, you know, because she ended up identifying with, because she couldn't control her eating or her drinking or whatever it was, or it was probably her eating, you know, because she was trying to say, well, I can't control my, you know, it's my drinking that makes me fat. When it's probably her, you know, she may drink, but I bet you she can't pass up, there's not a food, not a piece of food that doesn't have her name written all over it. So, you know, she's in denial, and so she ended up kind of messing up her set. You know, she ended up, because she picked the wrong person to try to do this to, and I'm sure she's done it many times, she ended up making an ass of herself. And then it was interesting, because then came the flip-flop. Then she started saying that she liked them and so on and so forth, and she'd never seen anybody with so many tattoos, and she even gave me a kiss on the damn cheek and a hug. And so the whole time I was sitting there and I was kind of being polite. I could have told her to go away, but I just sat there and I was polite, and she finally left, and I was finished eating, and I got up and paid the bill, and then one of the other employees, the gal that I paid the bill to, there in the Denny's, she said, "I'm sorry that happened." She apologized for that. So it was embarrassing for them to watch, you know, but it was no big deal. I enjoy it when I'm presented with that kind of a challenge, because it gave me the opportunity to not resent. And I don't even have to, you know, it's gotten easier and easier and easier. It gets easier and easier and easier to not resent, no matter, you know, and the situations can become more and more extreme, and all you have to do is just not resent and, you know, and just tell the truth, but don't, whatever you do, don't resent. And, you know, that thwarts it right there. You know, and it ends up making a kind of a, you know, it was an interesting experience, very interesting experience. But how many people, you know, and in this case, this woman was wanting to get me upset. She, whatever her reasoning, she desired to make me a problem, and then it would be me that was the problem and not her. She was trying to, almost like she was trying to pick some kind of a fight or something. Now, how many people, how many, you know, and as you go about your day, how often does something happen? Now, in this case, it was deliberate, but there's other cases where it's not so deliberate, where you resent something. You lose your identity. Whenever you resent, you lose who you are. You lose your identity. You resent someone like this, and you end up taking on their identity, whether you like it or not. And you lose your own, you know, your own original identity. You lose a piece of that every time you resent. And so it doesn't take a heavyset woman in Denny's, you know, off-duty employee to cause that to happen. Maybe you just watched a newscast. Maybe you just watched a biased newscast. Or maybe you just watched, let's say it was an even-handed one that just gave you the facts, but you ended up resenting it. Whatever you end up resenting, whatever you end up getting upset with, resentment, having animosity towards, you lose some of your identity. Maybe you lose a lot of it. You lose control of who you are. You know, it's like the proverbial snowball rolling down the hill. All of a sudden you bounce from this thing to that thing, and you're taking on, it's like you're sticky, and you're taking on, you know, a little identity here and a little there and a little more over here. At the same time, you're becoming separated from who you were originally, or who you could potentially be originally. In the world, but not of it. What does that mean? You know, there are people that think that, oh, it means that you have to be in the world, but you can't be worldly or whatever. You know, and they've kind of come up with the idea, you're worldly if you do this or you do that, you're worldly, versus and they come up with some sort of a religiosity idea. And that misses the point. The point is, you can be in the world, and have a relationship with God, with the source of your identity, the source of your genuine identity, in the world, and not allow, and it, you know, through resentment, through animosity, not allow the absence of that, not allow sort of the world to come in through that's like putting down the drawbridge over the moat and inviting in the outside. When you resent, when you have animosity, when you get upset with someone, you have animus towards people, places, and things, as if you were God and your thoughts could strike them dead, you lose. And at the same time, you get there's this wrong side of your ego that gets a little charge out of it and feels good about it. You lose. You lose, you know, resentment, animosity, it separates you from who you could be. It separates you from that genuine source of identity. Not only does it separate you from that, but then you end up taking on, it's a double whammy, you end up kind of taking on whatever it was you resented, whatever it was you became upset with, whatever it is that you're judging, because that's judgment. Animosity, judgment, resentment, it's judgment. If you add animosity to discernment, you can see what's wrong with it. You know, you just simply see something's wrong, something's right, whatever. You're able to see it. That's discernment. But if you add animosity to it, it becomes judgment. And then it becomes deadly to your soul. It becomes deadly to you. It becomes deadly to your identity. It separates you from who you could have been. When you're faced with two wrong choices, you either go along to get along or you try to rebel and do the opposite. Either way, you've lost. And so by not resenting this woman, sitting there minding my own business, here she comes bugging me, by not resenting her, she was presented with a choice she's never been presented with. Because by not resenting, I've ended up forcing her, and it wasn't me that did it, it was just the lack of resentment on my part, it ended up forcing her to see herself. And I'm sure she didn't like what she saw. So that's how you can end up impacting people by not kind of not participating, ending up playing the game with them. And a lot of times people will, you know, they'll play the game, they'll resent, they'll have they'll have a resentment reaction to something like that. They'll have animosity, they're judging, and they don't even, you know, they realize it or they don't, or they'll start making excuses for it. You know, wrong is really right. It's really okay that I judge. It's really okay that I have this little morsel of judgment. It's like having a little secret stash of chocolate stuck somewhere. Just nibble from all the time. But as you go about your life, how often are you becoming upset? You know, or the upsets that you're not seeing, how often are those excited? They become you know, it's almost like a tuning fork. You know, the tuning fork's able to make the other one next to it vibrate at the same frequency. Well, if you have resentment, even if you don't, you know, you and of course it comes packaged with denial, so you're in denial about it. Often people don't even know they have resentment. Oh, I don't have any resentment. Oh, no, not me. I don't have any judgment. I don't have any animosity, secret animosity. Oh, no. You know, they're oblivious to it. Themselves, they can't see it. They won't see it. Then they get all upset all over again. Everything around... It can get to the point where with some people, everything bothers them. Everything upsets them. And it can get to the point where, I think is agoraphobia, where they can't even leave the house anymore. They become afraid to leave their own house. So you have to be in the world, but not of it. Resentment, judgment, animosity forces you to become of the world. Whether you like it or not, it doesn't matter. You have no choice. All who sin, resentment, judgment, animosity, that being the sin, all who sin are slaves. And that literally means slaves. We don't have any idea how, it's hard to put this concept into words. Whatever we are as human beings, we can so easily, by doing the wrong thing, making the wrong choice, having the wrong reaction, we can end up so easily losing, becoming enslaved to the wrong thing. It can happen incredibly easy. I'm trying to come up with a... It would be like if you have... Let's say you have two... let's say you have a magnet, or you have two different magnets, or let's say you have two different... I guess magnets would work. And then you got this little particle that just is kind of flopping around. And is it going to go to one magnet, or is it going to go to the other one? And it doesn't take, it doesn't take much, for it to end up going to the wrong one. And you can almost think of it as a polarity. You can think of it in those terms. You can really think of it in those terms. If you have resentment, if you have judgment, whether you're aware of the judgment or not, if you have that, you will be attracted to the wrong magnet. Doesn't matter. Whether you have no say-so. The only say-so that you have is whether you will face your judgment, see what you've done. That's all you have a choice in, is the willingness to face reality. And if you don't face it, you end up being attracted to the wrong thing. And not only that, you become enslaved. You become a slave of the wrong identity. And then what part of slavery, don't you understand? Then people begin making excuses about how wonderful the slavery is. And that's literally what people do. It's absurd. So this was kind of, it was a very interesting encounter that I had with this woman. And, you know, I don't know. I thought it was very interesting. And I don't know what she thought about it. I'm sure I can't relate to that. I can't imagine. I do know that she probably, you know, she did end up kind of flip-flopping, and I'm sure she made an ass of herself. And it's, you know, and probably what it ends up doing, it'll either end up causing her to face herself, or it'll end up probably just as likely or even more likely cause her to eat more or, you know, drink more or do more of whatever it is that she does to, you know, to keep herself in denial. You know, keep the dysfunction dysfunctional. Make excuses for the dysfunction. But that's essentially what's wrong with the world today, is that there are too many people that won't face reality, that will not look at themselves. Because in order to really face reality, you have to be willing to look at yourself. Because if you can't look at yourself, if you won't face yourself, if you won't face reality, if you won't face the reality about yourself, how in the world can you ever hope to face the reality of the world? You can't. It's not possible. So the world is full of people that are in various kinds of denial. You know, and it's pretty obvious that it's in an incredible mess. And the mess is getting worse. You know, it seems like the mess is worse day by day, hour by hour, second by second. It's getting worse and worse and worse. So, anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off and see if I can't get it uploaded. And I don't know, maybe by about that time it might be getting time for me to start heading on south some more towards Virginia, because I'm gonna have to stop and get fuel at Harrisburg. I've got to stop and get fuel, and then that's probably gonna take upwards of half an hour, and then I go south, and I do have to go around the Washington D.C. area, that's always kind of a crapshoot from a traffic standpoint, although it should be, you know, later in the evening, so it shouldn't have too many problems. I got to go around the west side of it. So, that could be a little bit of a slowdown, and then I hit 95 south, you know, you never know about that either, but again, it's going to be later in the evening, so it should be well past the rush hour stage. So I'll allow myself a little bit of extra time. And like I say, I'd like to get there an hour to 2 hours before the appointment time. So if I can get there by about midnight Eastern time, then, you know, or a little after, that would be ideal. So anyhow, hope everyone is having a great week so far, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.